Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to the classic 90s TV series, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Belle.
Belle, man, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm thawing out.
Oh, that's true, because we almost died last week. Yeah, you know what? First of all, hi, everybody. We live in Texas. Belle, of course, is in Austin. I am here in Houston. If you are following the news, as I understand it, because I didn't have access to the news, because I didn't have access to power, internet, water, heat, or anything last week. Belle, on the other hand, living in the future, had some solar panels keeping him alive.
Well, I mean, the you know, it was really snowy, and so they didn't really help too much. But yeah, my power never went out.
Yeah, helped you better than they helped over here, man. I legit thought we were gonna die. And I mean, obviously, in Texas, we actually did have people die. And I was texting people. I was like, man, you know, I was trying to process the reality that was freezing to death in Texas, because that's what I thought was gonna happen. And fortunately, we made it through. And you know, my wife was actually, she was on lockdown at the hospital at one point. One of the other hospitals nearby, their pipes burst, so they had to evacuate that hospital and send them to her hospital. And so I had to keep the kiddos warm and safe at home. And we found different kind of nooks and crannies in the house to kind of stuff everybody in to try to stay warm. And it was a nightmare. There was something about not having any of, you know, no sun and no power. And no water, and no heat.
No hope.
And the kind of the blue haze. Yeah, no hope. Because you didn't know what was going on. That was the other thing. Nobody could tell us, like, you know, when they were going to do the rotation, the next power rotation or anything. And at first, we were very fortunate because our power never went out. But when I saw that they were going to rotate it out, I was like, oh, okay, so we've got it now, but that means that we're about to not have it at some point. And so I remember, like, 9 o'clock at night, me and my wife were texting each other. She was at the hospital. And we just got done texting because she had to go and deal with an emergency situation. And right then, pew, power went out. And so that's when we kind of bundled up the kids and made sure to get us through. But anyway, all that to say, crazy, absolutely crazy week that we had last week. We are fine. It was not easy. It was bad. It's wild, like, going back and watching kind of some of the commentary that kind of came around what happened, because some people were like playing it off like, oh, you know, this is really rough, and I'm like, no, like, we thought we were gonna die. This was not just really rough.
People literally froze to death.
No, exactly.
People literally died. Exactly. Like, it's not, you know, it wasn't a joke at all.
It was not real at all. And the other thing too is, like, you couldn't leave. So, like, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, do I need to get out of town? But the roads were shut down, so you were locked in, to freeze to death.
Yeah, that was our problem. We had several friends without power, and we're like, you know, come over, but you can't because you die on the road, you know?
Right. Well, and as soon as the roads opened up, I had some cousins from out of town that brought us some clean water. And man, all right, I'll just share this one last thing. I mean, like, people did not tune in for this, but this did happen. This is the world that we're living in right now. But all of our faucets went out except for one that we could get one little drip of water in. And so what I was doing was I was putting a jug underneath that drip of water and collecting it over the course of like an hour or so. And then we would boil that water so that we would have kind of a rotation of water that we could use. And like that one little drip, man, it was crazy.
One little drip of hope.
But anyway, so wild stuff, but fortunately we still had gas. I was thinking, like, once the gas goes, that's when we might just have to risk the roads. But regardless, we survived. We're okay. And we are here to talk some Flash with you today, and very, very excited and happy to be doing so. Man, before we can jump into this episode, we have a rare opportunity to share some news as it pertains pseudo to the classic Flash, as well as pseudo to the modern day Flash. And that is, if you have been following the rumor mill, you may have already seen this, but of course, John Wesley Shipp, the star of The Flash and also the modern day Jay Garrick, will be reprising his role, it is said, as Jay Garrick on Stargirl. Of course, that series takes place on an alternate Earth. There was a lot of talk about Jay Garrick having survived the crisis. I believe it was stated at one point, though obviously never seen on screen, that Jay was on Earth Prime. We don't know a whole lot about what this role looks like, if he's traveling from Earth Prime to Earth 2 or whichever Earth the Supergirl, or rather Stargirl Earth is. But regardless, I personally think it would be great. It would be much cleaner if he gets incorporated into their Earth as opposed to be, you know, permanently residing on Earth Prime. But that's just my two cents. But Bell, have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I saw an article talking about it. I thought that looked pretty neat.
It's great to see, man. John Wesley Shipp, he's got a choice career. You know what I mean? Like, this is a television legend. The dude is in great shape. He's out here like getting all these like crazy like wonderful roles. He gets to like relive the glory days and so to speak, but actually they're far more glorious now than what we were back then, or so you might think, because he's rubbing elbows with, you know what? We just need to go ahead and start jumping into this episode, man. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Let's jump into the rundown.
The rundown.
Episode 11 of Season 1, Beat the Clock, directed by Mario Azzaparati, and story by...
Jim Trombetta.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Barry and Julio are tipped off that Wayne Cantrell, a famous jazz saxophonist on death row for the murder of his wife, lounge singer Linda Lake, is innocent, and they have less than an hour to find evidence to acquit him. They ultimately learn that Linda was kidnapped by Wayne's brother, Elliot Cantrell, who wanted to ruin his brother's life out of jealousy, and that his enforcer, an ex-warlord and singer nicknamed Whisper, murdered another woman who was then put in Linda's place in a fixed car accident designed to lead back to Wayne. After incapacitating Whisper, Barry carries Linda to the execution chamber, where they arrive in the nick of time to save Wayne before the execution is carried out. Wayne is then reunited with Linda, while Elliot is arrested.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so first of all, fantastic episode. We continue on this like string of like fantastic episodes. Like, man, they've been hitting them out of the park.
Yeah, dude, like it's crazy because, you know, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but like each episode has kind of like a theme around it. And this was like a, you know, a noir, like much like Ghost in the Machine, you know, this one kind of had that noir sort of feel about it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really cool. And I love the soundtrack with all the jazz and everything. Yeah, just knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, that cold open, man, very Cowboy Bebop-esque, right?
Yeah.
Get that kind of that jazz playing in the prison cell. I mean, like, it's over the top in all the right 90s television kind of ways, right?
Yeah.
Like there's just crystal, like clean, like saxophone playing beautiful music in a prison cell where the dude's just chilling in a cell by himself with his saxophone. I've never been to prison. I have a feeling that's not normally the case, probably not even in the 90s, but perfect for that like over the top like narrative device. And I thought, I mean, it's beautiful. You brought in, you get so much visually in that experience too, because of course you see Linda's photo. And okay, we just got to admit, like, what is Angela Bassett doing in the Flash in the 90s, man?
You know, the whole time I'm sitting there looking at her going like, who is that?
That's the Queen Mother.
I was like, is that? Is it Angela Bat? I was like, no, it can't be Angela Bat. She looks so familiar. Who is it? It's got to be somebody that I know. And you know, sure enough, when the credits rolled, there it was, Angela Bassett. I was like, no way. Yeah.
IMDb'd that. I was like, is that Angela Bat? What is Angela Bassett doing? Yeah.
I was like, that is crazy. I did not see that awesome. Coming at all.
Yeah. Beautiful voice, of course. But yeah, Angela Bassett portraying the character of Linda Lake. Fun name, by the way, Linda Lake. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But fantastic. Every once in a while, man, you get these characters and these actors, rather, and actresses that are like big names that like pop up in some of these old series and these pseudo bit roles. I mean, the thing about The Flash is no episode really has a bit role. Every single episode is a mini movie. Every single side character and kind of new character introduced has a very like heavily developed backstory. And this one was certainly no exception. With, you know, Linda Lake and of course the brothers here. I got to tell you, this threw me off. Speaking of cast, of, you know, recognizing different members of the cast. So Elliot, the evil brother, I immediately recognized him. I was like, oh, that, I know who that is. Did you recognize him at all?
Man, he looked familiar too. And so did Whisper.
Okay. So Elliot is, did you ever watch Martin back in the day?
Yeah.
All right, Elliot was Tommy on Martin.
No way, really?
Now, this what blew my mind is we're sitting here and we're watching him, you know, and he's at his job, which is crazy to me because everybody knows Tommy ain't got no job. All right, for right? Martin fans, get that. The rest of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, but Martin fans are rolling right now. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Tommy ain't got no job. So Elliot was portrayed by the actor, and actually that actor popped up on a lot of shows in the 90s. I remember he was on Living Single. He courted Sinclair for an episode. Like he like kind of ran around from different, like he'd have these like one-off roles in different things all across the 90s. But like, yeah, no, for me, man, he was always Tommy for Martin. He died a couple years ago, unfortunately, but yeah. So it was great to recognize him in this role and to play that kind of evil character here. Yeah. So as you mentioned, you got that kind of very kind of noir over the top, kind of feel to it, but while still maintaining a little bit of the comic bookiness. You mentioned the Ghost of the Machine, and you're right. There is a lot of noir at play there. I would argue that in the flashbacks, that was definitely more the case,
right?
Kind of that retro type of black and white feel. Whereas after that, it kind of got more gothic noir. I mean, like more of like a Batman. I mean, like essentially it was a Batman movie,
yeah,
on the Flash. Here, this is really a bit more, you know, it's not, I think it's a little bit more of really that classic noir, but with still that comic booky feel. You do have like names like Linda Lake that do have kind of that, you know, or Susie Storm, you know, these names.
Yeah, like Sue Storm. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, exactly. They sound right out of the funny papers. And so it works out really, really well. Barry getting the tip off with the evidence to save dude. And like the guy's dying on the side of the phone and Barry just lets him die. What was up with that, man?
Well, he didn't know where he was.
He just told him where he was. He literally said, tell him that he's got to come to the corner of this and that in the next 15 minutes. And wait, what's going on? No, don't. And Barry's just listening to this like, hello? Hello?
No, he said to meet him at the club in 15 minutes. Like, he didn't say, okay, I'm at the payphone outside the club being murdered right now. Help me, the Flash.
He said it. Barry could have made it happen. I mean, he did. He could have. That's what happened. As soon as the guy died, then he was like, oh, I better get over there. Like, come on, Barry.
Yeah, well, you know.
Get those Flash, you know.
Wouldn't have been much of an episode if that had happened. Yeah, like, hey, why are you trying to murder this guy?
Had that story static. Like you know, he's listening, that plot static that happened over the phone. He heard everything. He heard the location. He's got the evidence. And then, wait, what was that? I'm sorry?
You're breaking up. It sounds like you're choking to death. Are you?
Static is terrible. It sounds like you're dying.
Can you call me back? Your line sounds really weird.
Right. Oh, you're dead now. Oh, let me get over there.
Oh, you're dead? Oh, I guess that wasn't the line. My bad.
I did like when he was, when he did make it down, and Julio was, you know, picked up the phone and he heard Barry on the other line and he's like, Barry, what are you doing there? He's like, oh no, I just went to a different room because of the static. The static made it sound like he was dying, so I had to go to a different room to pick up the phone.
Yeah, this line sounds like people are dying on it. I was just testing this out from another area in the precinct. But
that's kind of a bygone era thing, right? Like being able to pick up multiple phones and be on the same line.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad that's over with. I can't tell you how many times I've been like downloading game betas over 56K modem that, you know, like 100 megabyte betas, and you're like, whoa, this is the biggest file I've ever seen. And then your mom picks up the phone to call one of her tennis buddies, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah. No, the episode one trailer suffered several failed downloads for that exact reason. I remember also, you know, like, you know, you'd be talking to perhaps a lady friend from school, and you'd always wonder if somebody was picking up listening on the other line.
Yeah.
You never really knew whether or not you actually had privacy in the conversations you were having.
No, no privacy on shared home phone lines.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. That's definitely a relic from a bygone era. In fact, actually, as I was watching it, it took me a second to realize the trick that Barry was pulling. And I thought, you know, anybody even just like a year or two younger than us probably doesn't get that. Like, they're probably like, why did that work?
Yeah, that's like, that's weird. Why would he believe that, you know?
Yeah. Julio got some backstory this time, man. He got some development.
Yeah, he really did. It's like the first time we've really seen him sort of developed in forever.
Yeah. I guess, you know what, maybe, you know, Sabrina, she lost all the money in the poker game. She's like, hey, I'm peacing out. And he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go flex a little bit. I'm gonna establish myself with a backstory and get.
What about Sabrina Watch, though? There's no, like, where was Sabrina this whole episode? I guess she just lost the poker money.
He could have even said, like, man, no, Sabrina, she's laying low because Whisper's out to get me. He's over here knocking my dreads for some reason. And it's like... Yeah. No, Julio got a, I loved his backstory. Was really interesting. It was fascinating to see his connection with the family and not, you know, at all with, like, you know, the music, which was such a big feature in this episode and kind of tied with a lot of the characters here. But no, he's like, I don't care about jazz, but this dude saved my life. And to see, you know, this is always kind of a trope, and this is not just a 90s era thing. I was actually thinking about this while watching this episode, but there's always that trope that occurs in sitcoms and kind of these types of sitcoms where even though we've never heard the main characters or our characters that we know and love, maybe we've watched the show for years, we've never heard them care about anything until that's the episode where that's the thing. And suddenly they're the biggest fan of that thing. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest, like the most egregious, like shows that does this all the time is Lucifer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like Lucifer, they'll have like the roller derby episode. And it turns out that like the main character is just like a super fan and she knows all of the people and, oh, she knows all the moves and the lingo. And it's like, we've been watching the show 5 years. You have never once mentioned anything about any of this. And like, oh, yeah, no, that's... but she knows all the intricacies.
That's her personal life, okay? You know, she keeps it separate from her TV.
It's a sitcom. We're involved in all of the interesting facets of their personal lives. That's the entire point. And then, like, you know, they did one that was like, oh, it's like we investigate a surfer murder. And now, like, this guy's like, oh, I'm also really big into surfing, and I know all of the rituals and the things and the stuff. It's like, no, you don't.
See, at least in Point Break, you know, they were like, you know, Keanu Reeves learned how to surf.
There you go. Yeah, you gotta put in the time. Here's the thing, though. What the nice thing is, because The Flash is within its first season, and unfortunately, eternally will be, all of it's kind of permissible in the first season because you're establishing things.
Right.
There's, like Barry being like a jazz hat. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I could see this. This makes sense. This tracks with Barry.
Maybe he never took Tina to that bar. Like that seems like a great date spot.
Tina didn't have cred, man.
Yeah, Tina couldn't get in.
Tina didn't have cred.
Yeah, well, Whisper was giving him trouble until, you know, he flashed his badge, and he was like, all right, I guess we'll have to let this guy in.
Whisper. Let's talk about Whisper. It's Whisper. Whisper had that that iced tea, like glare down. You know what I mean? Like the Winston stare. The iced tea Winston stare, man. He had that going for him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I also found out where he was from.
Where is he from?
Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, see, I never watched those movies.
You never watched those movies?
No, I know you were big into them, but no, I never watched them.
Yeah, he was Peter Washington in the 1978 Dawn of the Dead. I knew I had seen him from somewhere. I was like, gosh, he looks so familiar. I mean, he's done other things, but like, I think that's... apparently, he was also on Kenan and Kel.
There you go.
As Roger Rockmore.
I did watch that, but that's been years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, I was like, gosh, I know this guy from somewhere. And like, seeing all these familiar faces and whatnot. And I didn't pick up on Martin for Elliot. But
For Tommy, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. The Martin connection. Yeah, he played Tommy on Martin. Martin connection. Yeah.
Actually, you know, Elliot, when we're first introduced to him in this episode, it's like real obvious, like the first like two lines he has, I'm like, oh, hey guys, I think this guy did it.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about that. That was my one disappointment with this whole episode, is that like, you know, usually either these show, like, at least what I've noticed so far is that like, it's very clear who the villain is at the beginning.
Right.
And if there's some kind of mystery about it, like it's, it doesn't feel like super predictable, I suppose. Either the circumstances are kind of like different. And in this case, it kind of was, you know, it wasn't 100% predictable because like, yeah, you immediately knew that Elliot was the guy behind whatever was going on here. He framed his brother for the murder of this woman. I guess the twist that they added here is that she wasn't actually dead. And I suppose that's okay, but like, I mean,
yeah,
maybe that was supposed
to, you can't just like have pictures of Angela Bassett everywhere and not have Angela Bassett in the show. Of course she's going to be alive.
Yeah. 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 And like, I guess maybe that was like their twist. Cause like, yeah, okay, we'll make it obvious. Sure. That Elliot's the, you know, the bad guy, but the big twist is that Angela Bassett's still alive. So that sort of lessened the whole, it was immediately clear was who was the bad guy.
It was obvious. But the thing is, with this one, it wasn't about the mystery. It was really about kind of like, it was about the time, right? Like, I mean, even the episode title, the episode title of Beat the Clock really kind of communicates what is our motivating factor here, is that we've got, you know, we have got until the clock strikes, you know, death penalty to be able to solve the mystery. And so we maybe as the audience do, but I mean, like, you know, it's really just kind of that race against time. The other thing too is it also just gave Julio a chance to shine. I mean, you know, we even had Barry literally getting knocked out for a good portion of the final fight. And a lot of this is really kind of weighted on what's up?
It's just like no one's been able to beat the Flash, and then Whisper just throws his ass out a window.
I was thinking, man, I was like, does Whisper have superpowers? Like, what's up with this? Because not only does like he able to like toss the Flash out the window, but also like he takes a couple of punches that I don't know that people could normally survive.
He takes a beat and then he comes back, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought that was hilarious. It's like, because Barry, you know, used the same thing to beat Zoom in season one of the CW Flash. Because when you're
Ice Tea Glare, man, he's got that Ice Tea Glare. That'll do it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, you can't really use your super speed when you're in free fall. So there's that.
So Wally, well, anyway, not that it matters, but I mean, like, technically, he could spin around his arms fast enough to be able to kind of create
wasn't introduced until later in the CW show, and I don't think it ever was introduced in this one.
No, I highly doubt it. Yeah, that seems a little beyond budget here. What I liked about it was that a lot of kind of the tension was between Whisper and Julio, so to kind of see them go toe-to-toe was really good. You know, there's also the tension that has been building between Julio and Barry in, you know, Barry's secret that he is, in, of course, the Flash. And so at one point, we were at that point, man. We were at that moment where Barry was ready to reveal because, we had to get going. You know what I mean? Like, this is it. Somebody's going to die. And he was ready to pull the cowl off, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's shocking that he didn't because, you know, Barry Allen from the CW would have told Julio the moment after, you know, he became the Flash. Like, hey, by the way, I'm the Flash. Whisper, guess what? My name's Barry Allen and I'm the Flash. Elliot, just letting you know I'm the Flash because you're a villain and I have to tell you who I am.
Julio would have known already. He would have been like, Julio, there's something I have to tell you. He's like, you're the Flash. He's like, well, how did you know? Because you came back from the future like 2 years before we met to tell me that you're the Flash. I didn't even ask. Yeah. we weren't even engaged with like each other. Like we weren't even talking. Like you were running past and you just kind of were going along the street picking people out at random to reveal your secret identity. And I just happened to be one. I've known since the moment we met, like in the regular timeline, Barry. Come on, man.
Yeah, yeah. You told me not to tell you that I knew until I told you that I wait. No, hold on.
He didn't even do that. Come on, man. It's Barry. He's like, hey, I'm the Flash. You know, say hello to your mother for me. Yeah. Hey, I'm the Flash. Tell your friends. Yeah. I'm the Flash. What's up? Are you a villain? Oh, then you need to know I am definitely the Flash. Yes, yes.
Are we going to have some kind of mutual respect? Oh, we're not? Okay, well, cool. I'm the Flash either way. I don't care.
Flash anyway. Yeah. That's the thing. That's why that show starts off with my name is Barry Allen. Like, he starts off telling us he's the Flash. Before he even became the Flash, he revealed his secret identity to the audience.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great.
We also, speaking of parallels with the new CW Flash here, we also had, you know, another incident of Star Lab security being absolutely terrible.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You just, like, walk right in behind Julio, and you're just like, you know, just put your hand in the door and... Just open it and you're on camera and nobody does anything. Where was that security guard? Where is he?
Not at all. He got knocked out. Do you remember?
Security guard?
Yeah, he got knocked out last episode.
So he's just unconscious.
Taking some time off, man. That was rough. That was the busiest day. He actually showed up that day. He had to take some time off after that.
Yeah,
that
well, maybe he was asleep. I don't know. Yeah. But that's the thing.
You can get in, but you can never leave.
And the police station has terrible security too. He's able to just like, you know, Julio got buzzed in and he's just like, I'm just going to wait right behind him and then stick my hand in the door and get into the evidence locker as well.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, Tina, I hate to say this. Tina, also in this episode.
Hey, she reconstructed the tape into a digital form that was then later destroyed by Whisper.
Yeah, while wearing her Swan Lake dress because she was watching Swan Lake, apparently.
Yeah, who took her to Swan Lake, Barry? You should be looking into that.
You didn't even ask.
You didn't even ask.
I was like, oh, okay. Like, fair.
I mean, to be fair, time is of the essence. And so maybe that'll be something that, you know, after the events of this episode unfold, he'd be like, yeah, so, which I kind of expected there'd be some kind of like, it'll jab there right at the end and everybody's like, ha ha ha, we're all happy and everything's back together. He'd be like, hey, so who took you to Swan Lake? And then roll credits, you know? Something like that.
That would have been great. I mean, we did, threats of infidelity, or at least implied infidelity was a bit throughout the episode with, the homewrecker Susie Storm, or the would-be homewrecker Susie Storm. Now, this is interesting. They said that Susie Storm, probably not a real name, possibly has a lot of other names. I can think of a couple. Sue Richards,
yeah.
Invisible Woman.
Well, clearly she's invisible because nobody cares where she went. Like, that was, her name wasn't that.
Dude, say that. Yes.
Yeah, her name wasn't Sue Storm or Susie Storm, but she still did die. And
she died when they were like, oh, he's wanted for a murder that never even happened. I'm like, well, Barry, no, there was a murder. Like, I'm not saying he did it or anything like that. I'm just saying, but like, let's not, you just heard that Susie died.
Yes. Yeah. Hold on. There was a murder here, Barry. Right. Okay. Someone has already been dead. And no one cared.
Like, but it wasn't Angela Bassett, so yeah. It doesn't count. For
yeah, they're like no missing persons report. It's like, hey, that's weird. All of these alias, like all the aliases that she uses, they're all reporting her missing, and then like nobody's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that was wild. That was like, that was a little bit out of left field. I'm glad you caught that too, because that was
yeah. I'm like, hold up. No. No, someone still died here.
Right. Oh, poor Susie. But yeah, no, Susie.
Well, she's
died.
A homewrecker, so you know.
Well, no, I mean, she would be. They never. It wasn't. No, it wouldn't. It wasn't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I believed him. He was an honest jazz musician.
Yeah.
Not murderer.
I mean, like clearly he could have walked out of prison at any point whatsoever because the Flash just like opened the cage and they didn't shut it when he left. So like, yeah, he's an honest dude. Yeah,
he's like, no, I'm gonna die, but you know, I guess I'll go out the honest way. And, yeah, I don't know. That was wild. I did. It was interesting, like seeing him deal with the fact that you know he was gonna die. Like hearing him kind of talk with the other inmates and everything, and you know, kind of processing all that. Yeah, the priest come in, and you know, I mean, you were feeling it. I mean, like you know, overall, and this is again, pretty much every single show in the era had that kind of a little bit overly ramped up acting, kind of that theatrical level acting that you don't see now on television. Like there's a lot more of a subtle approach because of the close-ups that you get on today's television, because of everything's a lot more HD. You can tell things, you know, the stories can be a little bit more real and you can kind of see a more fuller performance. Whereas, you know, back in the 80s and the early 90s and obviously, you know, kind of throughout the eras, you had this kind of ramped up over the top drama, you know, and I kind of felt like that was the case on some of his performances in particular, but I still thought it worked. I thought you kind of went along with him for the mental journey of, you know, being wrongfully imprisoned on death row and then like dealing with the reality of and the acceptance of he's about to die. And then, you know, obviously the beautiful, beautiful nature of it. Like he was like, I don't even want to live because she's not here. And it's like, oh, you get to live and she's here.
Yeah. You got best of both worlds there.
Exactly.
Can't say the same for Sue.
Well, she's dead.
So, like, are they going to exhume? Because, like, right now in the Central City Cemetery, there's a gravestone for Linda Lake, right? With someone else's body in it.
Oh.
So, like, so what are they going to do? Are they going to, like, exhume the corpse and then rebury it with this alias?
That's messed up, man.
Yeah, here lies somebody.
A murder that never happened. A murder that never, like, Barry, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, no, the murder happened.
The murder happened.
A dead person.
It's a different person, but, like, it's still a murder. Anyway, yeah, so there you go. Gaslighting. Gaslighting was the superpower of Tommy, a.k.a. Elliot.
Pharmacology as well.
Who has a job. Yes, yeah, he's up here with the drugs and the gaslighting.
Yeah, he's like, no, you don't remember anything because I'm injecting you with Profanol or whatever, and you have amnesia that's induced by this medicine that I'm constantly giving you.
So I was, like, legit surprised that she was alive.
I was, too. Like, because that's the thing. It's like, you know Elliot's going to do it, and blah, 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 yeah.
Right.
It's just going to end, and they're going to, you know, he's going to come out, and he's going to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm free, but my lady's not here, and then maybe it'll end on a tragic note, and maybe, like, you know, he offs himself or something like that, and
she would have wanted me to play the blues or something.
Yeah, yeah, or you know, I thought it was kind of ended on a tragic note like that, where like he realizes that she's dead, and you know he no longer plays anymore because of that, or like you know, like you said, plays the blues or something. Who knows?
Right.
But yeah, like when she was actually alive, I was like, huh, okay. So you know, there's a twist, a little Shyamalan ding dong there,
right?
Which made up for the fact that it was so very blatant as to who the main bad guy was. So
Well, and it was interesting too, because when we saw her alive, and again, gorgeous voice, like when we saw her alive, and what a great song too. I mean, I know it's kind of, again, a cliche, someone to watch over me when you're, you know, literally being watched over by the bad guys, but you also need somebody to come in and save you. So, you know, on the nose, gorgeous song, gorgeous singing voice. Here's the thing. I was curious about how they were going to explain this. And I thought they did it well, because the mystery really was, how was she alive? And so that, you know, that, which, you know, we got with, you know, Susie. But why she would be here locked up for so long? And the lost memory, I was worried about that. I thought that was a little too, you know, I hit my head and now I don't know who I am.
Yeah, I've had amnesia.
But I thought
for this
the addition
years.
Of the drugs added a nice, like, additional sinister layer to everything.
Yeah, because, like, you know, if there wasn't that kind of layer to it where she's given this quote medicine all the time, basically to sedate her anytime she's not recording and to like help, you know, keep her memory suppressed, makes a lot more sense than her like one of these days just going, you know what, I'm just going to walk outside this place I'm not supposed to walk outside. And, oh, there's a club here and everybody recognizes me. What's going on? And then all of a sudden he's out of jail, like Wayne's out of jail and everything's fine and the Flash doesn't have to worry about it.
What's great is Barry like discovers she's still alive, right? While she's singing, and like he could save her, but he just kind of stops to listen to the song because like, she's kind of killing it, and it's like, well, you know, let her finish. Let her finish.
I don't want to mess up this take. You know, this is a really good take on this recording.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like what was that movie? Holiday Inn. You ever see Holiday Inn?
No.
Classic Bing Crosby Christmas movie, highly problematic at parts because, you know, that was the era. But in the end of the movie, spoilers, the girl has run off with the best friend and Bing has gone to go and get the girl back. And he sneaks into the Hollywood set where she is performing her song. And the best friend who she's supposed to marry at this point, but even though she really loves Bing, right? He is outside and he's trying to get into the studio, but the light goes on and the security guard's like, I don't care if you're the head of Hollywood. When that light goes on, no one gets in. Because they can't ruin the take.
We're recording here, see?
Yeah, that's right. We've gotten so much flack for using that voice for like everybody that is doing anything before 1995. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I mean, well, I don't know. There's some. We're closer to 2100 than that time period was to now, or something like that. I don't know.
Not in the slightest. Okay. So, yeah. But no, I did love that he did let her finish. And even though he could, there's a couple of times that Barry's reflexes, if just a little bit better, Barry, we wouldn't have an episode. Granted, but it would have been done.
Yeah. 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 But
I do love happy endings, man. I thought this one was especially happy. You know, he does get freed. He not only that, but his wife is alive and they sing together. Like there's something about like not only them being together, but making beautiful music, like literally together, was, I thought, very beautiful. And I don't know, it made me happy. I needed a happy ending and I was glad we got one.
Yeah, that was you know, with the twist and everything coming back and then singing at the end of the, you know, at the end of the show in the club. That was cool. It was a nice, nice happy ending for everybody except for Elliot and Whisper.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing, I guess by the end of it, Elliot really didn't have no job. He had to go to prison. Yeah. Okay, one last thing. I was just gonna say this. All right, I don't know if this gets a pass or not, but the Black Bar naming giving the Flash hot wings, like Flash wings at the Black Jazz Bar. I don't know if that gets a pass or not. We're not to say on that, so we will leave it to the our beloved blurbs out there to make that call.
But you know, they're like his little ear wing things.
No, I got it. No, I thought I was like, no, it's clever, but is it tone deaf? That's what I don't know. That's the thing. That's where I don't know. Yeah. I observe. I notice. I don't make the call. I look forward to the feedback.
Yeah,
I look forward to the thoughts.
Yeah,
but that notwithstanding, man, I thought excellent episode. I mean, they, like I said, batting 1,000 here for several episodes on end. really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, love the music too.
Yeah, like the one thing about the music that I thought would have been really neat is this was an excellent opportunity to do like a heavy metal crossover episode where you have Iron Maiden's 2 Minutes to Midnight like as a montage song where like Barry's like running and it's like 2 minutes to midnight and he's like running down the street with Angela Bassett.
Wow.
I don't know.
Get him on drugs again and then have him do like the power playing the electric guitar.
He can play every part of the song, just like, you know, in between each note, go play the next note on the next instrument. Yeah. Like,
actually, they need to let Grant do that. That's a great idea. Like have a Flash band, like that's literally he is playing everything.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be incredible. Let me see that.
Yeah. There was also another rapid disassemble and reassemble.
Yes.
In this episode. So gosh, I really wish we could have asked John Wesley Shipp what it was like to have to clean up a kitchen, disassemble a car, you know, remove planks from a window, like all of these things.
Well, it's also interesting like when they speed things up and when they don't. Like when he pulled down the stairs like to climb up the side of the building, it was in normal speed, like he pulls it down and even goes up the first couple of steps like in normal speed before he super speeds up.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, I guess you just wanted to make sure like, all right, hang on. Is this sturdy? Okay, give it a little wiggle. Yeah. All right. That's good. Next one. Good. All right. I'm feeling pretty good. All right. Super speed.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to climb up a ladder really fast. It's it's not the
dangerous.
Yeah. It's pretty, you know,
maybe that's what it was. That's for the kids out there. They didn't want you to think you could just be the Flash and go running up the stairs.
Yeah. Like the end of the episode, Flash walks out, pulls a chair out and turns it around. It's like, so you tried to run up a fire escape.
Even the Flash takes his time to find his footing. Yeah. That's great. That is awesome.
But yeah, overall, I really like this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, man. And I'm excited for next week's in particular.
Oh, yes.
It's about to get kind of tricky.
I'm shocked. Halfway through the season is the first time that we get this.
They earned it. And like they've trickled in a lot of like comic booky feel type things. And so like I mentioned, like you've got the names, the alliteration in the names this week that really kind of added to that. Even the way they introduced the villains, even like normal, you know, human villains that are not super powered or anything like that, still have some kind of gimmicky nature to them, like Whisper in particular.
Yeah, he has a super villain name, you know, like Whisper, like come on.
Exactly. So they kind of, they've got those little aspects of things going for these characters that really kind of make you, you know, they're not comic book characters, but they could be. And so I think they were really priming the pump for what hopefully is coming next week, which I'm really, really looking forward to. But first, man, I got at least one Flash fact this week. You ready for
this? Yeah, let's do it. Flash fact.
Okay. So this is actually a perfect Flash fact because it is not pulling like this isn't pulling from something that came before, but this is something that came before that would come later. All right.
Okay.
Linda Lake. As soon as I heard that name, I was like, that sounds familiar. So Linda Lake, I was looking around. I mean, again, it sounds like a comic book name. Susie Storm literally is. It's just not Susie Storm. It's Sue Storm and it's in a different universe.
Yeah.
But Linda Lake, man. So this was a character on Smallville. Let me get another Smallville reference. And she was in a later season. She was a freak, a meteor freak who had the ability to control water. She was like a gossip journalist and she was using that to kind of, you know, hide in the water and get the scoop, so to speak. But yeah, Linda Lake, she also was, if I'm remembering correctly, she was portrayed by kind of like a big 90s or late 90s era, like a teen drama type situation, like 90210, Beverly Hills 90210, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. One of those shows, she was kind of one of the main character, main cast members of. And so, yeah, Linda Lake was it's a name that would resurface in a very, very different context. And to be honest, definitely like Angela Bassett a lot better than Linda Lake from Smallville.
Hold on. So you're telling me that in Smallville, there is a character whose name was Linda Lake.
Yep.
Linda Lake. Who got the ability to manipulate water.
Uh-huh.
That's like,
oh, you know what? Because of Linda, right? Like, because every single Linda I've ever known has always like been a really good swimmer. So yeah.
Well, not only that, I mean, like, you know, Lake Linda, the very famous lake that everybody knows about.
Shut up, man! Is that a thing?
No. Okay. That's like you know Barry Allen's name being Barry Fast.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, Linda Lake, she ends up with water powers. So that's the thing. I don't know if they were making an intentional reference to the Linda Lake of The Flash, but that's the only one I could really find out there. But that name does resurface there. And then, of course, Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman of Marvel and Fantastic Four fame. There's that. And then, of course, you know, even our main character, or rather our main, the guy in which we need to save, Wayne, no relation, by the way. I feel like this is the second time that the name Wayne has popped up and has had no connection to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I think there was a last name Wayne and this is the first name Wayne. Right. So yeah, I those are probably just coincidental.
If I may, my patience for an actual Bruce Wayne connection is waning.
Hey-o. Hey! Well, we saw you know the Tim Burton Batman poster, so there's that. I mean, that was a Batman connection. So that's about as solid of a Batman connection as you can expect, and you know.
Well, I mean, I got the music playing too. Yeah, no, I mean that's fair.
Well, Danny Elfman, you know, has the meta Batman connection with the theme song and stuff.
I love this show, man. I've loved it more and more as we've kept on watching. You know, some of the episodes have been like a little bit too dense for what I was looking for at the time, but lately they've just been the right amount of like perfection. The stories are real. The characters feel very, not like pulled out of the blue, but actually have these backstories and these connections. You identify. You can kind of connect with a lot of these characters pretty quickly. Even some of the more villainous characters, you get them. Even the ones that are like ridiculously over the top are kind of fun in their own right. And so it's a blast, man. I've been enjoying it. I'm going to continue to enjoy it. And, I don't, you know, you, so before we kind of, you know, sign off here and everything, you have actually seen next week's episode, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen.
So I have not.
Yeah.
But you, that's you've watched that one and the other Trickster episode, and that was practically
I think so. I think those are the two that I watched. I thought okay. I watched more. I watched the pilot too. I watched the pilot. I watched the two Trickster episodes. I'm excited to watch them again because I only remember a couple bits and pieces here. But yeah, they're going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm stoked for it, man. I have not, and I am kind of glad that I haven't seen those back when you did, because it is going to give me a chance to really see everything in perspective. And I have never, I more and more, I am really looking forward to not getting to the end of this show per se, but really looking forward to that handoff of watching this and then going directly into Crisis.
Yeah.
I'm appreciating that sacrifice even more. Like I appreciated it at the time just because it was paying homage and like, oh, this is such a great idea, you know, and to have like this, you know, classic Barry be the one to take the hit and what a great way to send John Wesley Shipp off, or specifically this portrayal of this character. And, you know, since this show was robbed, that's what I thought at the time. Now I know this show was robbed,
yeah,
that it didn't get, you know, more seasons. And so now like going back and rewatching that, I think is going to be even more powerful. And so I'm really, really stoked to get there with you.
It's really interesting too, because like, you know, we talk about the buildup and the ramp up of how they're kind of getting more and more into the comic book territory. And especially considering what next episode is, I feel like this episode could have fit with any of the episodes at the beginning of the season. Like, you know, they started to ramp up the kind of comic bookiness, and most of the comic booky stuff in here is more like of the names, like alliteration in names and the, villain names like Whisper and things like that. I wouldn't say it feels out of place. I mean, it's still a great episode, but like, I was wondering while I was watching it whether or not this originally was supposed to air earlier in the season. Because it feels like it sort of breaks the kind of comic book ramp slightly. Because we've had, this was the most grounded episode we've had in a while. As far as like,
yeah,
the villains involved, and the stories and things like that. It's, you know, it's a murder mystery. It's not a guy trying to jump through a TV and blow up Central City's power grid. It's not a guy with a virus weapon trying to kill everybody in Central City. You know, it's just a man who is wrongfully accused. And he's got 2 minutes until he's executed and Barry's got to go save him. You know, like it feels way more grounded. And so it was kind of interesting to see this one being interspersed with episodes that are way more comic booky than this one. So that was kind of interesting. I don't know if they're kind of like they do the ramp up, and now they're kind of grounding it a little bit to get, hey, look, we still got good stuff. We're still, you know, we know how to write stories. We're still really good. And then they give us the trickster, you know? So who knows? Yeah. But I'm super excited that we have gone through this with this watch through, because I watched the pilot, I watched the trickster episodes, and it totally like framed my expectations so weird and so differently from what the show's actually been giving us. And it's been so nice to kind of see this actual ramp up to this episode. And so, yeah, I'm super excited to rewatch that episode with the context of what we've seen in the show thus far. So it's going to be nice.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to it. And hey, we hope you are enjoying this rewatch with us as well. If you've not done so already, head over to iTunes, review the show, write us a iTunes review. It's a great way to help support the show. You can also help make this show happen over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Now, the last episode, I think we said we were going to give away another box set here, another season one episode, or season one of The Flash. We're actually going to do that the next episode. The snowstorm kind of threw us off on everything, or the ice storm kind of threw us off on everything. So that is coming, but it will be next episode. We will be giving away the season one of The Flash to one of our amazing patrons. So if you want to enter win, that means you got one extra week to do so. patreon.com/TV Talk, help support the show there, and that'll enter you into win. You can also keep up with us. You can follow us on Twitter at @FlashTVTalk, or you can follow Bell at @RingThatBell.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
Also, you can hit facebook.com/FlashTVTalk for other such good stuff. We want to encourage you to give a shout out to our friend Charlie Bach, who provides our outro music at soundcloud.com/CharlieBach. We are a proud member of TVTalk.fm for all your TV talking needs. And I think that is going to, in fact, do it for us for this week. But you know what? I'm going to tack one last thing on. If you want to stick around for some WandaVision talk, like brief WandaVision talk, that's happening after the music. So stick around, because we'll be back in a flash. This is a surprise. You didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't. This is a shocker.
All right, no, this is a real quick thing, okay? And it's relevant, So spoilers for WandaVision.
Yes.
Okay. Spoilers for WandaVision.
No, the only spoilers that we have up to now are like, cause the season finale comes out this week that we're recording this. So
I thought we had two episodes left. We've got two episodes.
Is it two? Okay. Okay. I thought we got one. Okay. But yeah. So,
all right. No. Yeah. So at this point in the series, we breaking the fourth wall was the last episode we saw. All right. This is relevant because it's about Quicksilver. And that's the Marvel Flash. So
yeah,
that's my stretch here. That's my Ralph. Okay. We're going to let it be. I got a question for you. Okay. What is up with that? Like, who do you think? Okay. So Quicksilver.
No, I think it's Pietro of the MCU. It's just when, Agatha, I'm assuming there's going to be something multiversal, multidimensional about Agatha's powers. Kind of like Doctor Strange or whatever. And so when she generated him, she didn't know what he looked like. And so she was like, that one, he works. And so.
Yeah. So he is literally from an alternate universe, like from the X-Men universe.
No. It's Pietro from the MCU, but like when she resurrected him, she didn't know what he looked like. And so maybe she just dove through the. Ah,
come on, man. No. He's got to be. No, he's from the other universe. I think. But you might be right.
He said he wasn't. He said, I'm Pietro.
He is Pietro.
But like, he didn't, he's like, I'm your brother kind of thing. Not like.
I think they overrode his memory. Like everybody in that city has been given new memories.
Yeah, that is true.
You know
true.
What I mean? I think that I think she pulled a Pietro because her whole deal, I'm assuming, is that she can't resurrect people. Like, I think that you can't bring people back from the dead. That's been kind of a theme, right? So I'm thinking that she got a Pietro from a different universe, but then overwrote his memories with what would be, you know, MCU Pietro's memories.
Well, so that implies that Vision's from another universe.
I don't think so. I think we're watching the zombified body of Vision with some kind of programming, like he was a blank slate. He doesn't have the Mind Stone, so he's not the OG Vision. I think what we're seeing is Sword's attempt to create an Ultron, like an Ultron 2.0. And Wanda got it, and she... You know, whether or not went to, you know, Witch Lady, or if Witch Lady went to her, but I think we're dealing with zombified Vision. Yeah, Vision's not alive.
I don't know.
He ain't back.
So like Pietro, you know, because Vision at one point showed like the gray version of himself when Wanda kind of lost focus, and Pietro had the same thing happen.
Yeah, that did kind of kill my thoughts.
There were bullet holes in him.
Well. So I think that's her trauma acting up. But no, I do think what Vision actually looks like is more akin to what we saw when he left the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that he is like, I think it's all of his body parts. I think that I don't know if that's the Mind Stone in his head or not. I don't know if Wanda was able to recreate the Mind Stone. I've been kind of this mindset that maybe she has. And maybe like we're going to end, instead of her saying like no more mutants, she's going to say like no more Infinity Stones or something like that, which is going to break the multiverse. I don't know. But that's the other thing. Do you think she's going to say no more something?
I mean, I think if they didn't, the nerd rage would be ridiculous. And there'd be like, you know, a release the Wanda cut where people are like, we want that kind of stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Do we need to talk about the Snyder cut? You know, that may be a conversation. Have you read the article?
No, please send it to me.
Okay.
I have seen trying to combine Jesus and Joker, but
All right, yeah, let me send you need to read the article, and we need to probably tack that into next week's episode because all right. Well, there you go. So you think he's a reincarnated MCU Pietro that just looks different. And I think he's from across the multiverse.
I don't know because like he was dead at some point. So like, I don't know if he's like reincarnated as in like, I don't think, cause they can't undo death in the MCU because you break everything. Right. Cause then why don't you bring back Tony and all that kind of stuff? Yeah. You can't do that. So there's magic that's animating him. And I think it's Pietro, or like his consciousness was, I don't know. I don't think it's Quicksilver from, the X-Men First Class universe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. We will see. I don't know if we'll find out next week because my theory, I don't know if this has been confirmed, but my theory is that next week is going to be a flashback. And so I don't think we're going to get the reveal until the very final episode, which is going to be in 2 weeks, or at least a week and a half, or whenever this is. But anyway, all right, well, there you go. There's a little WandaVision talk. Again, relevant because Quicksilver, because Flash of Marvel. There it is. All right, let's go. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.